I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. In a moment, Psychic Blues later on, Afterlife Investigations. Here's what's happening. Well, you know, we keep talking about the erosion of the middle class. Well, here's some research that says it's indeed happening. According to a study, the middle class is receiving less of America's total income, declining to its smallest share since the end of World War II. The middle class is defined by a household whose income ranges from $39,000 to $118,000 a year. The survey described this group as its worst decade in modern history. Consumers, though, are more satisfied with their credit cards than they've been at any time in the last 6 years because banks have stopped pushing up fees and fiddling around with other card terms. American Express Company was the top-rated U.S. credit card issuer for the sixth straight year, according to J.D. Powers and Associates. A number of big banks were below the average, including Capital One Financial and Bank of America. Mark David Chapman, the man convicted of killing Beatle John Lennon, has been denied parole for a seventh time. He was last up for parole in 2010 when he was told that his discretionary release remains inappropriate at this time and incompatible with the welfare of the community. He was also denied parole in the years 2000, 2002, 2004, 6, and 8. Chapman is 57 years old. He's serving a sentence of 20 years, which he's passed now, to life in prison. Now, the British singer John Lennon was gunned down outside his Manhattan apartment on December 8, 1980. Our Gary Patterson, published author, Passion with Rock and Roll, with us. You know what? I've got to say, how could they even consider letting the guy out? But I guess they have to.
I think you're right, George. I think that you have the right to go up for parole, but they also have the right to deny it. And, you know, I think that Chapman, I believe he's still in a protective custody in prison, but I honestly believe if he were to leave prison, you know, I think his life would very well be in danger. I know that Yoko Ono thinks that if he's released, then maybe her life and Sean's life may be in danger, that he may do it. But any time, George, that someone kills someone just for fame, you know, they don't deserve to be out as a part of society.
No. Would you want to mingle next to them?
No, I sure wouldn't want him to live next to me. And, you know,
here, kids.
Terrible.
Here, kids, here's the guy who killed John Lennon, where he's having dinner next to us. I don't think that would fly, Gary.
No, I don't think he'd get a book deal on the whole thing either. I mean, the whole thing is that some people think in their delusion that they become great heroes by taking away a great icon of our music. And, you know, this is a man who, John Lennon wasn't the radical in, you know, somewhere in New York City. He was a father who wanted to grow up with his son and watch the wheels turn, go round and round, you know. And it was a tragedy that had happened, and it'd be a great tragedy if Mark David Chapman is ever released.
What's new with you, Gary?
Well, I tell you what, I'm working on some great projects. I've got PopOdysseyRadio.com going and working on TV and film, George, just like you are, my friend.
All right.
And we're going to have to get together and do a long show and have some fun.
Let's do it. I miss you, kid. Be good.
All right. You too, my friend.
Our Gary Patterson. A little health story for you. Scientists say the discovery of an internal brush that helps clear lungs of unwanted matter could help them understand more about lung diseases. A team from the University of North Carolina found out that the brush-like layers in the lungs pushes out foreign bodies that it contains. What a machine we are, huh? Approximately 3 million bees found swarming around a man's Queens, New York home. Ah, but he was a beehive keeper. Neighbors went ballistic. They haven't figured out how they're going to charge him yet. 3 million bees in his backyard. Over at coasttocoastam.com, under our highlights reel, take a look at the Mars Curiosity making its landing. It's not great video, but it's kind of fun to watch. Viewers can now relive the drama of Curiosity rover's landing. We've got it thanks to NASA at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, Psychic Blues. We're going to talk with Mark Edward. I'm looking forward to this. He's next on Coast to Coast AM. 2 hours tonight with Mark Edward. Mark's a professional mentalist specializing in the magic of the mind. He has spent over 25 years in world-class venues, from nightclubs and theaters to hundreds of private parties and corporate events. As one of only 5 specially trained and chosen mediums in the history of Hollywood's famed Magic Castle, I've been there. He has performed 15 years of seances that help him perfect the role of spirit medium and psychic entertainer. And Mark, of course, is with us with his new work, Psychic Blues. Mark, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm looking forward to this.
Good.
You know, I read your book, Psychic Blues, and I couldn't figure out if you were one, a true psychic in the bigger frame, or a great mentalist magician, or you could be all of them.
Well, I don't see any reason why a person can't be all of those, but you know, I've heard people say, "Oh, you're a true medium. You're covering up for your real powers," which I think is hilarious. But if that was true, I wouldn't be writing books. I'd be at the racetrack or
picking lottery numbers.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, have to take that with a grain of salt.
Do you know our friend Brandon Scott, who pops over at the Magic Castle every once
in
a while?
Sure, I do. Yeah, I know Brandon.
Great guy.
For many years.
Good guy. He's a good magician, loves UFOs, and just an all-around nice guy. If you see him, tell him hi for me.
I'll do it.
Tell me about Psychic Blues. What's that all about?
Well, Psychic Blues is about my travels through the world of the professional psychic. When I say professional, I mean the real inside track. It's not about, there's not any metaphysics or spirituality involved with it. It's the business of psychics. It's the, the cons, the many tricks of the trade that are used by people who defraud the public. Not so much, you know, your mom and pop tarot reader or things like that. I'm talking about people who, you know, say they can talk to dead spirits and those sort of things, help the police, and the kind of thing that has actually no track record in most cases. So it's my experiences, they're all true, and it's from about 10 or 11 years in the belly of the beast.
How did you get into this, Mark? Were you trained? I happen to believe, and I think you do too, that it's God-given. Most of us have this ability. We just aren't fine-tuned enough.
Well, I'm not so sure I agree with that. I got into it because I'm a mentalist by profession, and after doing seance work as entertainment for many years, I found out how powerful the psychic medium angle can be.
Yes.
In other words, people want to believe. As far as being trained, I was lucky enough to have some really good teachers over the years that taught me the business of mediumship, basically. And I studied with them. I studied, but I didn't study on any metaphysical level. I was certainly aware of that going into it. I think I might have wanted to find something there in the very beginning. But the more mentalism I did, and the more I saw people on television and in the news that were, the so-called world's greatest mediums, et cetera, I got pretty disillusioned with that, because I knew that what they were doing was basically cold reading or hot reading or getting information in other ways.
They have a way of leaking information, grabbing it from the individual they're talking to. They're very good at that, aren't they?
Well, yeah, that's the art of being a psychic or a cold reader. And not only can they do that just by being an expert at observation and body language and lots of other methods that have been put into use for centuries, but now we have the internet, and you can get what's called hot readings. You can get a lot of information about somebody if you know who they are, what their address is,
sure,
that sort of thing. So it's become much more technological, and with that comes a lot more of a reason to be watchful.
You might be able to find out, for example, on the internet that so-and-so has a sister in Wichita, mm-hmm, and so you basically say, and so you have a sister in the Midwest.
I see
and,
a W.
Yeah, and then they and then they give you a little bit more information that maybe you didn't even anticipate, and you just can keep going from there.
That's right. The art of being a good reader is it comes off as totally fantastic if you're good at it. You really can convince people in a very short while that they didn't tell you anything, but you found out things about them that there's no way in the world you could know. This is what a mentalist does. The difference between a mentalist and a psychic is the mentalist does it as entertainment in a theater context, whereas the psychic does it you know, to get a hook in people and get them to come back again and again and again. So it's a different world, but they beg and borrow from each other.
Mark, what do you think of intuition? You know, I happen to feel as if people have something within their system that gives them this intuition, this ability to make decisions.
Yeah. Absolutely. Intuition is, to me, I would rather use the term intuition than psychic. I think we all are intuitive to a greater or lesser degree. And if you decide to develop that, you know, in other words, like I said, you study different forms of NLP or body language or psychology or, you know, whatever path you decide to take, you can increase your intuition. And what passes for a good psychic reading is usually just common sense intuition mixed with a little mumbo jumbo.
Were you always a believer? Were you ever a believer?
No, I was never a believer.
Never.
No, I mean, let's put it this way, George. I went through a spell when Uri Geller was first around in the 70s where I really wanted to believe as a magician. I heard about this guy who could bend metal and do design duplications and all these fantastic things. And so my interest was piqued, and I said, wow, I want to find out about this. But I was never somebody who just gave over completely because I have a background as a magician. So it's hard for me. I have to see evidence. I have to see something pretty convincing with my own eyes because I know that, you know, with a magician, something's going on in your right hand. You need to watch what the left hand's doing.
He's been on the program before. He's done some, you know, interesting things. There was one night, Mark, and keep in mind, this is radio, and he's on the phone somewhere.
Yeah.
But he wanted everybody to bring their dead watches or clocks close to the radio.
Right.
And he said, I'll make them start for you. And lo and behold, I'm getting emails from people, you know, hundreds of people saying, you know, my clock started, my watch is working.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, you know, months later, we did a rebroadcast and we played that program again. And I started getting these emails and, you know, I didn't realize that segment was in that part of the show. And I'm saying, what was that all about? And then it dawned on me, my gosh, it's our refeed, and apparently it worked again. How do you explain that?
Well, I was going to say, I can't explain that to you. Okay, so imagine you've got, how big is your radio audience?
3 to 5 million people, any
okay,
given night.
Okay, all right. So one thing that we know is if you take a watch, say you have a watch that's fairly, it's old, it's an old style watch, not a digital watch, something like that.
Okay.
If it stops working, if you hold that watch between your hands and you hold really tightly, and that's what he does, is he...
He does, yeah.
He hold it really tightly and concentrate. Well, what happens is the warmth from your hands can loosen up any oil or grease that has stopped the gears from turning inside the watch. And the watch will actually start to run. It generally doesn't keep running. It may run for an hour or something, but after that, it usually stops. So if you figure 25 people out of how many million again?
Millions.
Yeah, well, the odds are that, yeah, some. Now, the clock is a different story. I would have to know, as a magician, I would say, show me the evidence. It can't just be a telephone thing where somebody says, well, this happened. I have to see it, but... A clock is the same sort of thing. There's nothing supernatural going on here. If you hold something in your hands and you jiggle it around or whatever, there's a good chance that, hey, the hands will start turning. But it doesn't mean that there was any supernatural force coming from the psychic or the medium to make that happen. Otherwise, let me give you an example.
Okay.
If somebody could do something like that, say if I could move one of our communication satellites a quarter of an inch out of its orbit, I would be one of the most dangerous people on the planet.
You sure would. Countries would be soliciting you.
Well, they'd be finding a place to put me away. So, I mean, you have to look at common sense. A watch is not that big of a deal. But if you know what it is that's so great about Geller? The showmanship.
He's a great showman.
So, and that's what I think he's great. But I stop at the point of saying that there's anything supernatural going on here because if he could do the things that any one of the things that he says that he does, he would take the $1 million challenge, or he would share that with science, and he would change science overnight. That's the bottom line.
He couldn't do it on the Johnny Carson show.
And I know why, too.
What happened?
Well, Johnny Carson's a magician, or he was a magician.
Yeah, that's true.
And he knew that if certain things were, readjusted on his table, that Geller couldn't do anything. Now, to me, the sign of a true showman, and this is something I could never understand about the Johnny Carson episode, he still should have done something.
Something, just to make it look good. Yeah.
It's like you always have a backup. You know, have a backup ready to go. Don't just sit there and say, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So he let me down quite a bit when I saw
that. I remember the crowd just moaned when he couldn't do it.
So, you know.
That haunted him, too, for a while.
Yeah, it certainly did.
Well, Psychic Blues, and it's a great read.
Thank you.
Where, and you've been around, Mark, a long, long time. What have been some of your highs in this field that you've been in?
Well, I think just working with people. I love working with people. I love talking to people. I think that anybody who's successful in radio or any conversational mm-hmm. medium is it can be a gift, but it's nothing supernatural. But the people that I met, as you read in the book, the teachers that I had, the experiences I had with people who really, really had serious difficulties and problems, and how I learned to deal with that. And I try to kind of be the skeptical psychic. People would call me and they would say, they want me to do some mystical thing. And I would say, no, it's just really simple. Here's an 800 number. Call this 800 number. They will help you. So in that way, I saved some lives. I helped people in ways that didn't have to be a cult. It didn't have to, suggest some other kind of reality other than just good common sense. So the highs for me were realizing that, you don't have to play the game as if you are the powerful one. What I tried to do is empower people themselves through whatever I'm doing.
Right.
Whether I'm doing mentalism or I'm doing readings, I try and empower the other person. I don't want them to think that I am some sort of high and mighty person that's in touch with all these forces. I want to say, look, this is just a natural thing. These are natural brain functions. ESP, all this stuff, if it's real, which we don't know, it's a natural thing. It's not a supernatural thing. So that's for me was a breakthrough, is to find out that people, because a lot of people don't realize, because there's so much paranormal programming, as well as I do.
Oh, it's huge. Huge.
Yeah. A lot of people, we're growing into an era now where there are people growing up who don't know that there's another way to look at it. They don't know how to critically think or think about rational, what's the logical way. In other words, I always say nothing is impossible, just less likely. So I think people have lost the ability to say, what's the more likely thing that happened here?
Well, I just had a meeting with a Hollywood production company, Mark. We were talking about a separate project, but we were talking about all these ghost shows that are on television. And almost all of them, always, every week, has a ghost that pops up on video or something.
I know, isn't that amazing?
Or, you can say, oh, my, something just touched me. I feel it. And, we just rolled our eyes because I think that hurts the credibility of those shows.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, how could people get up in the morning and go about their daily life? How could they tie their shoes or do their laundry or make their coffee if they knew there were ghosts running around everywhere like that? And not only do those kind of shows present a false dramatic premise as reality television, but a lot of times they will go into a home where there's like a squeaking chair or something fairly non-threatening, and the writers will come in and cobble together a whole demonic possession mm-hmm. story, sell it to the family, videotape the show, and then they leave, and so the family's actually much worse off
True.
When they leave than when they got there.
See, I think that hurts real investigations. And you know, there's some people out there that really are devoted to this.
Yeah.
But these other shows, I think they're hurting that.
Yeah, well, all of them. Name one that is helping.
Hold on for a second, Mark. We're going to come back in a moment. We'll continue chatting with you right here on Coast to Coast AM as we talk psychic blues. Mark, tell me about being a mentalist. Exactly what is that? What do you do?
A mentalist is a performer who uses the five normal senses to create the illusion of a sixth.
Aha.
So it's a branch of magic that, we don't pull rabbits out of hats or anything like that. We don't come out in tuxedos. We try and look very professorial or serious and dignified. A little bit different.
Do you consider yourself a skeptic, wanting people to bring you proof and evidence, or a non-believer?
No, I consider myself a skeptic, very interested in people bringing evidence forward. In fact, that's why I do what I do.
Okay.
That's why I wrote the book. Because I'm not trying to debunk or trying to, say that there's nothing there. I just would like to see the proof, and I'm tired of the argument with psychics and all that. I think that it's time that they pony up.
Have you ever met someone, a psychic, who you thought, this could be the real deal?
No.
Not yet.
I've come across a few people that gave me pause to wonder, but later when I deconstructed the situation and looked at it a little closer, it became apparent to me what was going on. I kind of fooled myself in some way. But, you know, there have been a few people that did make me wonder. But those people, I have to say, the people that gave me that moment of wonderment, they weren't the sort of person that wants to go on television or,
or make money doing it.
Well, in fact, they don't want people to know that they can do what they do.
You know what? Those are the kind of people who would prefer to work with police departments and find missing children and stuff like that.
There's absolutely no evidence of any psychic ever solving any crime or finding any murdered or missing children. You can look it up on Wikipedia. That's a publicity angle that psychics have used for decades. And I think if you look to the sources of information like Wikipedia on police psychics, it's a publicity marketing tool and little else. Otherwise, if people could do that, like I said, they would be in a position to do some pretty amazing things. You'd be hearing about them.
I think the next time, and, we've had psychics on this program before, as you know.
I think Brown, right?
I bounced her.
Yeah, I know. This is the kind of thing I'm talking about. Okay, so you know what I mean.
Yeah, but I think the next time we have one on who talks about missing children, I want to talk to the police department that they say they worked with.
That's right.
We've not done that. And I'd love to hear the police officers say, "My gosh, she found her." I have not done that. And I think we need to.
Well, that's because if the proof was there, it would be given you before you, that'd be the first thing that you would find out about that person. But it just does not work that way. And the tradition is they show up, a psychic or a medium will show up and offer information, but as far as I know, and I could be corrected, and I'm sure you'll get calls on this, it's never panned out. And if it is, again, anecdotes are not evidence. You can say, "Oh, well, I heard this and I saw that." I need to look at the printed page. I need to see the real transcripts of what happened before I'll go out on that limb.
Let me ask you more. What do in terms of the supernatural? What is it that you would believe? I mean, and let's toss God into the mix for a moment. How far do we go here with you?
Well, I don't know. Which God are we talking about?
Well, I would think the God, right?
Well, again, it's like if you ask a psychic, if you try and test a psychic and you say to them, "What is it you do?" And they say, "Well, I'm psychic." And then you say, "Well, that covers a whole lot of area. Be specific. What is your specific claim that you are making that is testable so that we can replicate it and get to the bottom of it. Because basically all we have is science, if you really want to test something, okay? So the way I look at it is, I want to find this just as much as you want to show it to me. But when you get into areas of theology about God and those sort of things, that's used as a shield by a lot of these psychics.
Sure.
In other words, they do prayer sessions before they, you know, take your money out of your wallet. So mixing the two together is like apples and oranges for me.
A good psychic should be able to float it out of your wallet, right?
Do what? I'm sorry?
A good psychic should be able to float your money out of your wallet.
Well, they do, and a good psychic can float your money out of your wallet. It's just the question is, what is the specific claim? Okay, so that's I'm not trying to dodge your question.
No,
your
I know.
The question was what did you say about God? Because as soon as you ring, you know, God will do it to you every time. God shifts the whole paradigm away from evidence and science-based fact.
Well, I would guess that you are just as baffled as I am about why we're here, who are we, and how we even got here.
Well, I don't know. I assume that there was a scientific reason for it. It's like all we have is science, okay? An airplane does not stay in the sky because somebody prayed for it to stay in the sky.
No.
Somebody sat down and worked very hard to construct a scientific mechanism to keep several hundred people in the air.
But you don't believe then that, let's say a group of 1,000 people, they all get together and they pray or they use mass consciousness, call it what you will,
yeah,
to change something, to better something. You don't think they can do that, do you?
No, because if they could do that, why don't they neutralize all the nuclear weapons on the planet?
Maybe they've not thought of that yet.
I'm just saying, you know, in other words, that's why people who say, oh, I can talk to dead people. Well, yeah, you can talk to dead people. The question is, do they really talk back, okay?
But
in other words, tell me something besides that grandma had a green hat or she had a rose garden.
You know, it's interesting. After you're done with me over the next hour and a half, I've got some afterlife investigators coming in from
I know you do. I've read all about them. And in fact, I did a recreation of the Skoll experiments for the television show Weird or What with William Shatner.
Mm-hmm.
We duplicated the Skoll experiments.
And what were your results?
My results were that everything that they did was...
You could do.
Well, not only that, but if you look at the information without going too deeply into it, because that's for later.
Yeah.
There was no controls. There were no controls. It was done in the medium's home. And let me try and cut to the logical chase, George, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
If this really happened, if this was the greatest breakthrough in spirit communication, what happened? Where's the follow-up? But this would change science overnight, but it hasn't. This is in 1999 or something like that. But
there was no follow-up. It was just there, and that was it.
Yeah, but my point is, if something like that happened, why don't we know about it? And what happened? Did it just fall off the end of the earth, and we're never going to hear about it again? That would be a very substantial shift for our way of thinking.
No, I hear you.
Yeah. So this is why Psychic Blues is about kind of like, yeah, well, maybe it's okay to talk to people. It's okay to help them with their problems. But the blues part of it is, what is all this baloney?
You see, my impression of your work, Psychic Blues, was that what you wanted to do was to cut through all the bull and to try to get to some realistic answers about things.
Well, they not so much realistic answers, just a real way of communicating with people. See, my idea is that we have lost the ability to really communicate with each other, just one-on-one, nitty-gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think I said it in the book, if I went into a supermarket and I started just giving somebody a reading while I was standing in the checkout line, it can be very intrusive, and people would say, hey, security, get this guy out of here.
Yeah, he's right? insane.
But
yeah.
the same person will stand in a line for up to an hour and a half to talk to me at a table at a party just because I have a sign that says psychic readings.
Right.
I'm telling her the same thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So my point is the label has been so exploited that we've lost sight of the real truth, which is people just want someone to talk to.
Do you ever tell people how you do what you do?
Yeah, that's what the book is about. I mean, there's plenty of how I do it.
I mean, the woman in Honolulu, you found her earrings over the phone. How did you do that?
Ah, good question. Very good question.
You found them in a diaper container, I think.
Yeah, I described exactly where they were, and she went and found them.
Was it luck?
Yep. It was, as far as I can,
You were in shock.
I believe in luck either. Yeah, I was pretty shocked by it because basically what I was doing is just it's called the scattershot technique.
Well,
you just throw stuff at the wall and pretty soon something's going to stick.
How do you know you don't have this ability, this incredible remote viewing ability to be able to perceive
because
this?
Because I can't call. Here's the difference, okay? These things happen to people all the time, these so-called psychical experiences, okay? If they didn't, I think that would be really weird. Coincidences, synchronicity, all these things. You know, we have these phrases like, off the top of my head, out of the blue, this happened. What is that about? But where I draw the line is if somebody says, I can make this happen at a specific time in a specific place, in front of this crowd for this amount of dollars, that's where I draw the line. So out of 1,000 readings, if I got one pair of earrings that was in a baby wipes box, yeah, that's amazing. But we tend to remember the hits and forget the misses. And when people see these television shows with psychics on them, they have you know who the real wizard is on those shows?
Who?
The editor.
I was going to say the production people.
Because they tape those shows sometimes for 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah,
I won't mention any names.
And they have to find the good stuff.
And they cut out. And what's on the cutting room floor is all the misses. So when you see these shows, that's deceptive to me. That's not right.
I agree.
It would be better if somebody just said, yeah, stuff happens. Let's find out if there's something to that.
Or a disclaimer. You know, they did this 90 times and 89 times, nothing happened.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't have any ratings at all, would they?
No, I don't think so.
See, that's the psychic blues.
Well, let me ask you this. you don't believe in ghosts.
Did I say that?
I assume that.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I believe me, I've spent like 35 years. I would be so charmed and delighted to have one come and sit on my lap. I really would. I would just be like, yes, stop everything.
What are your views then, Mark, with death? Do you think that's it? It ends, body dies, it's all over? Or do you think there is a hereafter?
I look at myself as an agnostic bordering on atheism. You know,
that's tough.
I don't pretend to know.
An agnostic doesn't believe at all, an atheist at least.
No,
the other way around. An atheist doesn't believe at all. An agnostic wants the proof.
Well, an agnostic basically says, who am I to say? You know, I don't want to have the arrogance to say what it is or it isn't. So I sort of feel the same way about ghosts. However, it's been my experience in studying this in the lore and the writing and the literature for the last 35 years, that everyone loves a good ghost story. But when it comes down to actual proof, not anecdotes, but actual evidence, for example, if one person sees a ghost, that's one thing, right? If two people, independent of each other, see the same ghost and then find out later, then maybe there's something there. But that's extremely rare. And in those cases, you have to look at the other evidence as well. My point being, I would love it if it was real, but I'm sadly disillusioned like you said, a TV show where every week a ghost just happens to show up and these guys are bumping around in the dark with flashlights, scaring themselves. Turn the lights on.
What about the person who calls this show or who tells people, and they truly believe this. I mean, I would agree that there's some people that fudge things, but they truly believe that they saw dead grandmother at the foot of their bed.
Well, what are they seeing? I've had experiences like that too. I've had just recently, about 5 months ago, I had a hypnagogic dream. You know what those are?
Yeah.
Where you're frozen and you cannot move, and you are you're having all sorts of hallucinations, of auditory hallucinations, the whole nine yards. And when I woke up the next day, I wasn't the same for a couple of days after that. You know, as a skeptic, I was pretty freaked out. So I have a really strong respect for people who believe that they have had these experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I've had one too. But whether it's in that person's head as an internal thing or whether it's an actual external manifestation, that's where the rubber hits the road. See? And I'm really interested in people who say it, like I said, if one person sees something and then it's verified by someone else at a different time, they see the same thing, and then later you find out that person's dead or something. That makes for a good ghost story, but I don't hear that happening. All I hear is, you know, ghost hunters, like I said, bumping around in the
right.
dark, scaring themselves, which is ridiculous.
You know, Harry Houdini, as you know, was obsessed with trying to find the real medium, and he died never finding that person.
Right. Well, I did the Houdini seance for 14 years.
At the Magic Castle,
yes,
right?
Yes, I did. So I know the story well.
Were you able to do illusions that just baffled people?
Yeah, I did. They have a special room in the castle, which is a private dinner for 13 people. And you're sort of set away from the rest of the castle. And that was like my room for many years. I shared it with another medium. And that was our job, was to tell the Houdini story and then illustrate it with different illusions and mentalist effects. So, and I got pretty good at it, and I kind of moved on because I realized how powerful. That's how I drifted into the psychic thing, is because it, magic tricks didn't do it. You know, there was an emotional thing with a seance that you just don't get with standard.
No, magic. That's true. But people, I guess, would also get hurt in a good seance, wouldn't they? In terms of emotionally, not physically.
No, because I never did seances where they said, we want to bring back the spirit of Uncle Bill, you know, to find out where the will
okay.
is hidden or
okay.
something like that. No, those are tough.
Those are no-nos.
There are people that will do that, but not me.
Well,
that's a whole different thing.
You've got a line there, and you won't cross over.
Well, no, I won't. And I've done television shows where I've done these sorts of things purely to show the emotional impact. But then after the taping is over, we'll tell people, look, you know, we set this up or whatever.
When
it really is powerful.
When a person in the audience writes a number on a card and the mentalist looks at them and guesses it, how in the heck do they do that?
Well, I can't reveal any of my secrets. You have to take my classes.
You just told me you will.
You can come and take my classes if you want to learn that. But
will I learn that?
I think he guessed it. I'll give you a hint.
What was that question?
I said, why do you think he guessed it, he or she?
Because he didn't know it? I don't know.
Well, these are the techniques that have been used by spiritualists. You know, mentalism is wrapped up with the spiritualists at the turn of the century, the golden age of spiritualism. All of that was intertwined with magicians and magic. It always has been. So it's a trick.
It's not. It's real.
Well, the thing is, that's where the disclaimer comes in, which I don't want to.
All right, hold on for a second, Mark. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to come back. I want to talk a little bit more with you about that. Mark Edward, his book is Psychic Blues, and also we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.